Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Money Matters is brought to you by Pezzo Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Pezzo on KIDO Talk Radio.
Good morning, and yes, we're kind of flip-flopping today around just a little bit with Memorial Day weekend. I'm getting a little bit of an earlier start, hour or so earlier, and of course, normally this is a replay of Kevin and my discussion from last week. We're going to play that a little bit later. So I'm here. If you want to give us a call, it's 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Love to visit with you. And as we head into this incredible Memorial Day weekend, now why do I say incredible? I say incredible because finally the weather's getting better. Finally, we're actually entering into summer, which also means it's kind of dull on Wall Street, but it's already been dull. Dull. You say, well, why do you say things like that? I mean, gosh, I mean, shouldn't you be like hyperventilating? You know, you're kind of like a media, financial media guy. So, you know, why would I bother listening? And I think that the point really is we're not trying to get your eyeballs or ears because we want to hyperventilate about the market. We want to learn and grow. And we heard this week that one of the more bearish people out there, one of the most widely quoted bears, is bullish. I mean, it's really Robert Shiller, Nobel Prize economist, Robert Shiller, who thousands of points ago, I don't know, 10,000 points, 12,000 points, began to talk about his CAPE, P-E ratio index. Okay, I don't know, it's like, well, who gives a crud about that stuff, right? But the point is this, quote, about how overpriced the market was, and it doubles. Doubles. Now, when you're the Nobel Prize winning economist, and they love you on TV, they love you in the media, they love you, you're on all the time. I just want to ask Mr. Shiller, how the market got cheaper 100% later. I don't understand this. And as far as I can tell, nobody's holding him accountable for the fact that he probably kept millions of people, helped keep millions of people out of the market. People are entitled to their opinions. Don't get me wrong. As far as being right or wrong about the market, or let me grab a coin. Wow. Heads, I think the market's going up next week. That's how it is. But when you promote how brilliant you are about making market predictions, which he does, do that, and now you have these valuation techniques, and you're really convincing in your argument, and you're on TV all the time. It's not as okay to without explanation. How is it that for 10 or 12,000 points you've been telling everybody for 50% ago how expensive, what a sucker's bet, only fools would dive in to the market, and I am a Nobel Prize-winning economist, after all, not to be trifled with, bigger brain than most, and I am on TV all the time. And now, would you explain to me how the market is cheap isn't an even bigger sucker's play after I've left all that money on the table. Why I would invest now? Because without explanation, it just looks absurd. And an explanation of saying, well, you know, the bubble, this was the explanation. I'm sorry, he did have an explanation. You know, the bubble in 2000. The bubble in 2000, you know, it was even beyond this level, it went up another 50%. Now, I don't know if that means I'm a perfect politician talking out both sides of my mouth where he can come back later and go, I'm thinking that's a bubble. I told you. See, back then, I told you it was a bubble. If it goes down. If it doesn't, he says, see, I told you it could go up. Perfect politician. So I have no idea. Is he really bullish? I don't know. Did he actually say, you know what, I'm re-looking at things, and here's why I have to change my mind. I would have honored that. I wouldn't have been like, really? People are allowed to change their minds as ground conditions change and new facts come up, right? They're allowed to change your mind. We all are. And we have to grow from that. But to just like willy-nilly be screaming and yelling for years about how high-priced the market was. Time after time. Shiller says market overpriced. Shiller says market. I mean, just constantly. Only a fool would get into this. And now, years later, thousands of points, billions of dollars later, now he's bullish, and no explanation what changed. Pretty remarkable. Maybe it was time for him to be relevant again. Maybe people weren't listening again. But this is the problem. Why is this important? It's not, I don't have anything good or bad about Shiller. I've thought he was way overhyped for a long, 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 long time. And on top of that, I thought his index, his Shiller index, was outdated. It's a backwards looking, it just doesn't, obviously, it hasn't been working. But it's not because he's wrong and we're going to throw stuff at him. People are wrong all the time. But when people are so self-promoting and so self-important and are so widely quoted, I'd like an explanation why all these people following him, all these websites that quote him, why we don't have an explanation why we're changing and what happened, what went wrong, why it didn't work, why all the doom and gloom is now being replaced. If you want to say, because Trump's policies are so pro-growth, I had to rework my models. I mean, we could have covered it up that way. But no explanation and not held accountable. So it's an interesting thing. And why is this important? It's not just Shiller. Who are you reading? Who? What are you listening to? Which doom and gloom are overpriced? Person has been keeping you out of the market? Which group of negative data have you continued to focus on for the last 10,000 points? Or was it 15,000 points? And when we get caught in confirmation bias and we just continue to go that way, what good is that? I mean, are we actually growing and learning? Of course we're not. Not at all. And if we can't be changed, we can't learn from our past mistakes. We continue to wind ourselves into why you will be right. And you really were never wrong. And remember, a stopped watch is right a couple times a day. It's not Right. When the market corrects. If you've been bearish all along, you're a stopwatch. And it's temporary, and then we rip to all-time highs, and everybody makes some kind of weird, weird game out of it. Whereas it's so weird that people actually think that the market can go to zero. Stocks can, individually, and do. They go out of business. But the whole market? If it does, everything's gone. I mean, everything. I don't care what you have. The little pretty bricks. The whole world is upside down in chaos. Guns and food. Camels and women. That's going to have value. I don't know how you plan for that. But to be bearish is absolutely, all the time bearish is foolish. Guessing the market, foolish. That's not according to my thing. That would be according to smart people, really smart people. Smarter people than me. The people we admire as the greatest investors of all time. You know, like Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, John Templeton, all those people that can't time the market, but you got it nailed. We have to learn from these things. And Nobel Prize winning economist. Well, I didn't say that with quite enough reverence. Nobel Prize winning economist. Robert Shiller. Was wrong. For thousands and thousands of points. Billions, trillions of dollars of wealth. Because you can't predict the future. But we keep trying, and we dig in, and we find our own confirmation bias, and we turn this into some weirdness. Oh, the market's gone down. It does that. That's called normal. Hold on. Excuse me. Right during the commercial, I want you all to go out and freak out about normal. Find something normal, like the sky is blue, and then run around your yard and scream and yell. Because it freaks you out. The grass is green. The birds are chirping. It's normal. Markets correcting is normal. And then they go to all-time highs, and then they correct, and then they go to all-time highs. And freaking out or trying to guess the little dips or acting like it goes to zero ensures you won't be around for the returns. You won't. All the studies show it. All of them. You invest, you stay, you win. Game over. Okay, ready? Ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3, ready? Invest. Stay in. You win. Guessing what the market's going to do, bouncing in and out, talking about whether it's overpriced, underpriced, what have you. Are you ready? Guarantees you overtrade. You're not in. You lose. It's really that simple. Unless, of course, you're that smart. And if you think you are, I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. I'm just sorry. That's a sad place to be. We got to take a quick break. If you want to get a hold of us, do 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. All right, this is our final segment, actually live today, because I'm going to be on with Kevin Miller next, right from last week. And Kevin was out at the rescue mission, not at the rescue mission, but out there with his missions, what is it called? Miller's Mission, I believe is what he calls it, but he's out there at the Walmart and raising funds, raising awareness of the amazing, amazing work that the Boise Rescue Mission does. And it truly is astounding. Don't say that lightly at all. I say that with a very full heart and an incredible respect for these folks. They are amazing. They are truly amazing what they do, giving up their lives, all their effort, all their time to help get other people out of the circumstances they're in. It's astounding. And Kevin, thank you. What an amazing thing you do for raising the awareness of Boise Rescue Mission. Anyway, we're going to do that in the next half hour. And then, again, we're going to be repeating a global manager with Janus Capital that I interviewed about 4 weeks ago. We're going to run that in the second hour on this Memorial Day weekend. What a fantastic weather we've got as well. All right. And our final little thought here, this is a very, very good question here. I got an email from Michael. What is your opinion of closed-end funds? Do you ever recommend them? Michael. Mike, thanks. That's a fantastic question. Closed-end mutual funds. What are they? I can't dive into a whole lot of details here, but like other mutual funds, they're actively managed and they're diversified to a degree. They can be very specific in an area, like we do financial stocks. We do only German stocks. But they can be very focused in their nature, but they hold more than one stock. They hold a package of stocks, but they're actively managed. So closed-end, though, means that you don't redeem directly from the company. So they'll do an offering, and they'll say, we raise $100 million to invest, and then they go out and buy their stocks and trade them. But if you want to redeem, you want to get out, you say, I want my money out, then you do not get your money back from them. You sell it on the exchange like you would a stock or an ETF exchange-traded fund. What that creates is an environment where you could have discounts or premiums to the underlying real value. Okay, so what's the real value? The real value is all the stocks we own and what they trade for every day, right? They're up and down, and then you run the calculation. All the stocks, bonds, cash, added up, divided by the number of shares, is your net asset value, NAV, every day. Let's say it's $10, for an example. $10 is my net asset value. Well, what if you could go out and buy that for $9? That's a 10% discount. That sounds pretty cool. Why wouldn't I want to do that all day long? Well, the answer is, to a degree, you do, but it is also often available at a 10% discount. Maybe 15%. So if you bought it at 10, it normally is at 15% discount. You're actually overpaying for where it normally trades. But generally speaking, I do like them, generally. The problem you can find in that space is some of them are very, very poorly managed and deserve a huge discount because they are so poorly managed. And there's nothing much people can do about that. Because remember, all you're doing is trading in the market. You can't just, they're not going to just go out of business. They've got their $100 million, and that's what they're going to have. They can grow it, it'll shrink, and by market conditions, but you never redeem out. There's never a run on the bank. So some of them, you really have to do your homework. You have to pay attention in this space. It is not an easy space to run around in. But generally speaking, Mike, I like it. I like it a lot. I have layered those in some of our models. The difficulty we have as a firm is that there's just not enough trading volume. So we can't use a lot of them because they're hard to trade moving in and out. You can move the price. We do. Even a small firm like ours will move the price if we buy too many shares. You as an individual absolutely can and should, but be careful. Buying something at a discount just because it's at a discount without finding out why, or if it's trading at a historically low or historically high discount, is crazy. That's just like saying, hey, I saw the stock that just went down a whole bunch. I'm going to buy it because it went down. Well, why? Without any knowledge of what they are, why would you do that? So closed-end funds are excellent, but be a little bit careful in that area. The other part I want to add to that as we're closing up is there are serious advantages to the managers of having a closed pool of money. You can do some private offerings. You can actually take on some leverage. You don't worry about a run on the banks. You can buy more illiquid securities. smaller positions, perhaps, smaller capitalization names that you plan on holding multiple years. All of these things are huge advantages. But whenever you add leverage, borrowing, you add risk. And in the bond space, most closed-end funds are levered. Typically around 25 or 35%, somewhere in that range, is typical. So what you're doing is you're borrowing money to buy more bonds to enhance the yield. That's fine. Sounds groovy. The problem is when interest rates go the wrong way, the leverage enhances the losses. Where we are in the bond market now is not encouraging to me to take on leverage. Look, I'm not predicting interest rates are going to spike tomorrow, but from the lowest interest rates of our life, what direction do you think they will go over the next few years? And that's not good with levered bonds. Please be careful. The other area I'll just real quickly talk about here would be in municipal bonds. Municipal bonds are not municipal bonds. Some of them are really junky. Why don't you ask those folks? We just had a client come in, account transferred over, and I am not kidding you. Eight or ten different Puerto Rican positions. None of them trading. They're all worthless. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bonds. Poof. Got to be careful. What's the quality? Who's the manager? Are they taking too much risk? Why do I have such a high yield on this thing? All of these things in the closed-end universe, their advantages or disadvantages, like most things in life, right? Our strengths are our weaknesses. They can be, and they certainly can be, and are in the closed-end space. Leverage can be wonderful. Owning illiquid securities can be fantastic in the long run. Things you can't do. They can also take you out. So do be careful. Hey, I hope everybody has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I know I will, and weather's going to be beautiful. Have a great weekend, and I will talk to you live next week. Enjoy Kevin Miller and I at the Rescue Mission and the Global Manager in the second hour.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Matters with Dave Petzo, KITO.
All right, before we get to our friend Missy Coleman here, we will go to Dave Petzo. And Dave, where are you?
Well, I'm in the studio, but you mean where am I on this whole, it's just like Watergate type of noise?
Can't hear Dave.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you where I'm at. As far as that goes, I think we need to wait and see. I can't even believe that somebody with as much experience as Senator McCain would be out there already equating this to Watergate, and that we have an outright scandal now. I thought it was a great decision to have a special prosecutor come in and quiet this thing down. Apparently, from my perspective, the markets did too. This is a good idea. It doesn't seem to be that there's any there. But at the same time, we've got to go ahead and act like we are independent, and we're going to find out if there is anything there. But to come out and act like this is Watergate is absurd. It's just so far-reaching.
Now, wait a minute, Dave. Here I thought we were going to talk about the Boise Rescue Mission and warm and fuzzy, and I'm going to go where you are, and then you're already hitting the ball out of the park.
Well, since when everybody's remote like this, the communication is sometimes is best that we're just guessing at what the question might be. But I can hear you well now, so here we go.
So something that, and we'll get back to that, we're going to bring in Missy here in 2 seconds as well. But this is near and dear to your heart. And I so want to tease you about the markets, but hopefully we'll get to that today. You know, one of the things that we always talk about is the community, Dave. You love the Boise Rescue Mission. And you know, people here are just jumping on chairs because of your love for the Boise Rescue Mission. So if you could, please, tell us a little bit about why it means so much to you.
Kevin, it's really, this is watching people who are embedded in the community the way they are and embedded in people's lives is inspiring. I don't know how you can't be inspired by all of the hundreds, actually thousands of stories of people who have come in homeless. Maybe they haven't even finished high school. They help them get a GED. They help them get a job. They help them get out on their own two feet. And person after person, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's problems in their vets, they've got programs for all of these to help people have a real path forward. Yes, there's a meal for everybody that wants one, a bed for everybody overnight, but a pathway? And the only way you can create that is what they've done, and that is with the one-on-one there where people are involved deeply in their lives, where they can come in and they can fail, and then they can come right back. There isn't a time limit on love and caring, and you can only be in this part of this program for a certain amount of time. It's that human connection. It's so inspiring.
Dave Petzo with us. Missy Coleman. Missy, how are you today?
Kevin, how are you?
I am living the dream, and just like so many folks, you and Dave, this is such a cause near and dear to your hearts.
It is. It is. The Boise Rescue Mission makes all the difference in the world, and as I go through each day of my life, and as everyone goes through each day of their life, I think it's wonderful that they can have that comfort knowing that Boise Rescue Mission is there to help the homeless, that when you're in the grocery store, or you walk out, or when you drive by a corner and there's someone who needs help, they're asking you for $20, or they're asking you to help out. They need a job. There's so many people that need help. And I think whenever I'm in that situation, I always can think Boise Rescue Mission is there to help. That if I give my money to Boise Rescue Mission, they're going to help this person much more than I can by just giving them a $20 bill or trying to help them with money. I know Boise Rescue Mission will help their health and spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, occupationally, everything in life that you need. And the ultimate is that they'll explain Jesus Christ to these people and give them everlasting life. So not only do they get a better life here on earth, but they get everlasting life through Boise Rescue Mission.
Indeed. Dave Petzo, I'm sure you echo those comments.
Oh, without a doubt, yes. It's an amazing lifelong, you know, we all have a lifelong journey full of bumps and grinds, but these folks have hit amazingly rough bottoms, and the idea that there's people there that can help them find an actual bottom and then have hope for the future. In fact, as you point out, all eternity, it's amazing. But on a practical level, the amount of people that their lives have been changed it's astounding.
And we'll be right back here at KIDO Talk Radio. Petzo, and you know, Dave, I've always talked to you about real estate, but Missy is our real estate expert, so do you mind if we break down some of the statistics? And then I'm just going to have you comment on it if that works for you.
Me, yes, me.
Sure. Are you with us, Dave?
I am. I'm right here. I'm waiting for Missy. Go right ahead.
We lost you last time there. So.
I know.
Anyway, Missy, let's talk a little bit about the record growth. Canyon County, real estate prices at an all-time high. Ada County, just about. How difficult is it to buy or sell a home these days?
Oh, my gosh. I put one house on the market Friday, another one came on Sunday, and we were expecting multiple offers. And I had one this spring that went on at $179,000, and we had 12 offers on it. I've heard of 19 and 20 offers. So it's definitely a seller market right now. There's buyers out there, the inventory's low, and we are having a lot of success as far as selling homes.
Boy, that's the problem, though. Then you have to buy another home.
And then when you're the buyer,
right.
Exactly, you have to be prepared. You have to be ready to go in over list price. You have to be able to do maybe an escalation clause where you'll offer more than the list price up to a certain amount.
We call that the Petzo clause.
So there's so many different nuances to this market in order to be successful as a buyer or a seller that you really do have to have someone who knows the lay of the land, knows what's going on, knows your area. And in Ada County and Canyon County, those areas are both just experiencing great growth, which is awesome for Boise, for Nampa, Caldwell, Eagle, Meridian, and all the areas.
Well, you know, as we kid with Dave Petzl, you know, the yonder hinterlands, you know, he's a Boise-centric guy. So I'm sure 10 Mile Around Meridian doing very well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Meridian is hot. So we're seeing I just would encourage anybody who's thinking about selling to put on right now because the inventory is so low.
But then you got to buy another house, right. unless Dave will let me live with him.
That's, Dave has been good about that.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Come on over. Now, there are people that I wouldn't mind living with, but I think we'd have to have a little test time, Kevin. Seriously.
A little trial. I appreciate that.
A little trial there, yeah.
You can move in, but read the fine print.
That's right. You know, now one of the things, though, is the higher end has not been moving anywhere near as fast as the lower end, like under 300. Isn't that true?
That's true. And in the million-dollar-plus market, we've got probably 2 years' supply. There's 42 homes on the market right now. There's five that are pending, but 23 have sold. So it's moving, and it's an active market, but we have a lot of inventory in the higher-end market. So I know I've interviewed with people who are wanting to sell million-dollar homes, and because the market is so hot and the market's so good, they feel like they can price higher, and they feel like they can go in with a high price and probably get it. But we can't do that in the high-end market right now. Mm-hmm. You need to go in at the market value, and you still can expect to be on the market for 2 years.
Well, you know, Missy, I was really worried about that, being
about
in
your house.
Being in the high-end market. as well. Dave Petzl, how does this impact our area as far as business and the economy when the home prices are rolling so much?
No, it's good, and there always is a bad side to it, of course. It's like any area that has real estate that's popping and values are exploding. That's great if you're in the market. It's terrible if you're not in the market. It's hard to get into that market. And as time goes by, and Boise has already been discovered, but as it continues to grow and prices go higher, it will price people further and further away from Boise and out into the hinterlands, as you like to call it. And there's still plenty of land out there, so I don't see that getting to be a massive problem, Kevin, but people are going to have to commute to be able to afford housing. I think they do already, but they're going to have to be commuting even further as time goes by. That's the downside of the great real estate market that we have.
Missy, finally, you wanted any statistics you wanted to share? You said last time I asked you for statistics, and then you brought a whole bunch. You see, I
think the good news is that if you're selling anything up to $800,000, it's a seller's market. Anything less than 6 months of supply is a seller's market. We have 1 month of supply in the 200 to 250 range in Ada County. We have 3 months of supply in the 400 to 500 range. So right now, if you're a seller and you're thinking, you know, should I wait? Will they go a little bit higher? What should we do? I think it's a risk with interest rates, with all the different variables that are coming into weight. And if you're a buyer, I think you need to find a really good realtor to help you so that you can navigate these waters. And if you do find the house that you love, you need to make sure that you come in strong and that you follow the advice of your agent.
Well, I watch all the shows on TV. I watch the shows on New York and L.A. Maybe we'll have one here in the Treasure Valley. Missy, what about your phone number if people want to get a hold of you?
My phone number is 208-484-8617.
What about the web?
The web is www.missycoman.com, MissyComan.
Right.
So that's 7 days a week. And
you're working
always,
all the time.
I'm always available. Real estate agents work long, hard hours, but it's a very rewarding opportunity for anybody who's thinking about getting into the business. It's a fantastic career.
Yeah. Missy, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
And more with our friend Dave Petzl. So, Dave, are you a fan of Dirty Harry back in the day?
Was of course. Still am. Love the guy.
Clint Eastwood saying today that we've lost our sense of humor and PC would stop Dirty Harry from being made today. I would agree. I see the reruns all the time, and we live in such a censored world compared to Dirty Harry.
You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about this literally at the office and laughing about some of the old movies like Airplane and the old lady that says, you know, pardon me, miss, I know how to speak jives. Funny, funny lines like that that we couldn't do anymore, right? You know, parts of almost any movie back then are. And so I totally agree, and I think it's really sad that we can't just laugh at ourselves and say, yeah, we're different, and I'm a guy, and you're a lady, and we think differently, and we act differently, and culturally there's so many differences, north, south, and east and west, and all those things. It just makes us so uptight, like we're always waiting for something to go wrong, like, aha, gotcha, I gotcha, I know you're a racist, I gotcha, I know you're really this way or that way, you're homophobic, and it's sad. Because we do and should be able to laugh at ourselves and quit taking ourselves so literal and serious.
Well, it reminds me of the old Seinfeld show, and I don't think you could do Jerry Seinfeld anymore when he was walking around and every time he did something, it was a stereotype and he didn't mean it. Everybody had the faux outrage.
Yes, yes, exactly. You're great. You're exactly right. Seinfeld show would be off air. I don't know how you can make anything anymore. Although I have to say, what was that show that Last Man Standing? I think that's kind of got some politically incorrect tones to it. And it was on for 6 years.
What? They canceled it.
Well, it's on for 6 years though. Yeah. That's a good run. So maybe it's
people
not all over, but you're right. There is some of this PC is. I'm hopeful actually. It seems to be getting better out there, and I'm hopeful that trend will continue.
Dave Pezzo, the optimist, once again. My goodness gracious. Before we get to the market's performance, a sad note, and we'll have this young lady on this week. A good friend of mine actually covered the last performance for The Greatest Show on Earth. Barnum & Bailey, Ringling Brothers, done. An iconic institution in American history. Done. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's kind of too bad. I did not know that. That is too bad. I guess it is time that we all move on. And I haven't been to a circus in decades myself. So
I blame you.
That's right. That's right. When's your last circus, Kevin? Every day is a circus, right?
You know something? You're on fire today. You're on fire today.
It's something we all grew up with, and that was the entertainment. Now there's just so many options out there, right? You see amazing things and amazing technology. When we were growing up, right, Kevin, you know, watching somebody train a lion was inspiring and amazing. And nowadays, I guess it just doesn't move kids too much activity in their lives.
Well, we don't have men like Gunther Gable, the lion tamer. But anyway. Let me hit you with this one. So it looks like the end of the road for the markets. Huh? The volatility because of the Trump presidency, is it time to punt?
It is not time to punt. But you knew I'd say that.
Yeah.
This is, you know, what's so funny to me is how the end is here. We're up 15%. I heard this actually walking through a pro shop, and somebody goes, yeah, looks like Trump's ruining the market. And he's, how much? What's he going to do now? And I said, yeah, it's only up 15% since he got elected. You know, it is. It's up 15. Yes, we had a one-day drop, but yeah, it calmed right back down. I think he's not tweeting and all is a really good idea right now, but markets are very calm again.
Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, we always appreciate you. One more time before we exit here from the Walmart, Gearty and Franklin, how much it means to have this organization, and if you could urge people to support the Boise Rescue Mission.
Kevin, I think I couldn't urge them enough that this is a organization where you don't just, you know, give your money. You know that all these people are giving amazing amounts of time. They're so underpaid, or there's so much volunteer time here. And without that one-on-one love that there is, person to person, when these people are coming out of addictions and broken families, loss of job, mental issues, all of these things, if there aren't people with those people, that's why they have such a high success rate, is that they're there all the time with them, 24/7. And if you fail, that you can come right back in again. And that's the way they are. That's their heart. And all we do is give a little bit of money. They give their life. We can get more money. You can't get more time. And so support those people that are out there day to day giving their life to change others, to affect our community in such a positive way.
Our great friend Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. I guess next week we're off because it's Memorial Day. Maybe we'll see you a week from Tuesday. Are you available Tuesday, or are you traveling the world?
I'm traveling the world.
The entire world.
I know. I'll be back on Tuesday, but not in time for our 7 a.m. rendezvous, Kevin. How about the next day?
Maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
We'll talk. All right.
Dave Petzo.
Thanks for what you do, Kevin. Above all, seriously, thank you for going out there and shining a light on this great cause. Thank you.
Well, and, you know, you're on FM now.
Well, that's even better. And, you know, like you and I talked before, you know, we really sound good, too. Kind of sexy out there on FM. It's got that deep, sexy kind of tone.
Well, you know, Larry Gebert just gave me a strange look on that one.
I'm sure. A deservedly strange one, yes.
Dave, thank you.
You have a great day.
All right. Our great friend, Dave Petzo, on KIDO Talk Radio, now on 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Caters is brought to you by Petzo Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Petzo on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to hour number 2. And again, I want to reiterate, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. That's just absolutely, honestly, it's the opposite of what people should be doing with their investing. We want to try to come into this clear-headed, think of things logically, and try to put the noise aside, which is kind of what I want to talk about here in the second hour. I want to talk about why is it that we can't see the market right? What's wrong? Why is it when we look at the stock market, we see it wrong? And I mean virtually everybody does. I know, because I have these conversations all the time. Now, most people think that they view the market or have adequate market knowledge, if you're listening to this program. I mean, granted, man on the street that doesn't even know, you know, who the vice president of the United States is, I get that. They're not really following the markets. They don't understand at all how capitalism works. Anywhere on any university, probably, in the country, for example. But overall, people vastly have vastly too much confidence in their ability in the markets and their understanding of the markets and what they should be doing. All the time you hear people like, you know, what goes up must come down. Like, that's some kind of a, you know, rule of Wall Street or something. A rule of gravity is what it is. Trees don't grow to the sky is another word Wall Street saying. I got it. And that's absolutely true. We have to think that way. And as you know, on this show, if you've been listening for 20 years, you know how we talked about that during the big run-up in tech. Okay, so it's not permeable. Yes, I am. Absolutely, I am. On the overall market, not on every aspect or every stock by any stretch. And there are times to be cautious as you're near retirement, if the market is particularly high. But it's not put it all in cash. You know, I look at this sometimes, and I don't want to have that frustration come through. I want you to understand where I'm coming from on this. People need to stop this madness. It drives them insane trying to figure out what direction the market's going. But what goes up must come down is wrong. We have corrections, yes, but come back down to what? Zero? It goes up, and so now I have to come all the way back to zero? Or what kind of arbitrary number, after what percentage correction, do you think it should be? Well, it's too high. It's too high. Based on what? Based on what? Are the P.E. ratios too high? where else are we going to put money? Should we put it in cash, earning zero? Is it possible that stocks could do better in an environment where nothing else is attractive? I would think so. Does it make sense to take the stock markets, some of its internal fundamental ratios, and compare them to a high inflation period of time, for example? I wouldn't think so. But if we want to cherry pick and pick apart, that's what people do well. But here's what I want to get through. Why do we see the market wrong? In your entire life, nothing has been given to you like the market gives to you. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you're not allowed to help these great corporations do anything. They don't want your input. Oh, you can send them an email. You can tell them what products you like or what ones you don't. They want that kind of input. But if you want to show up, you know, and say, like, I want to cut the costs, you know, maybe clean some toilets here or something, you know, so you guys don't have to worry about that. Keep the costs down. They don't want your help. They're just going to send you a note once in a while. Hey, thanks for being an investor. And here's a little more money every year off of your investment. Thank you. I mean, when you think about it that way, it's ridiculous. How can you build great, vast wealth when you don't do anything? You buy stocks. That's how. And that's what we go into, this whole barfing of whatever tiny bit of information, data that you have. And it's what people do all the time. Even commentators that don't know anything or hardly anything think they do enough to blabber about stuff. Well, what do you think about P/E ratios? You know, it's pretty high. No, actually, they're not. Really? No, not relative to interest rates and earnings. And they're looking at you like, I don't know what he just said. Look, the people that are delivering so much information, data, to us like a fire hose, by and large have no money, hardly invest. Actually, the Wall Street Journal did a study of the actual financial reporters and how little they have. Many don't even invest at all, like not even in the 401k at work. None. Can you imagine that?
Well, I'm expert reporter for the Wall Street Journal. I don't have any actual investments. I don't actually have any money. I'm actually a financial basket case. But what you ought to do is listen to me, because I'm an expert. It's just amazing. It's astounding when you think about it, how little they know. But they're out there reporting. They're making noise. They're not reporting. They're not teaching. They're not teaching. And so the difference is it's noise versus understanding and teaching. And I can hear all the yeah buts. Yeah, but if I'm nearing retirement. Yeah, but I'm in retirement. Yeah, but shouldn't I wait for a correction? I got it. You've been out of the market for thousands of points, and every little thing scares you, and that's what I'm talking about. Stop it. We have to stop it. This makes no sense. On any planet does this make sense, to sit around and guess about something when all of the experts, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, Warren Buffett, John Templeton, John Templeton said that. Oh, Warren Buffett. Oh, I read all of his stuff. He's so wise. He's so great. Well, why don't you pay attention to the part that says, I'm a long-term bull on the great corporations of the world. I don't know what the market's going to do. Or how about this one, this pearl of wisdom from Buffett? Far more money is lost waiting for the market to correct than when the market actually corrects. Well, but for me, what goes up must come down. I'm waiting for a correction. I got it. I know. Blah, blah, blah. I've been reading. Know about this. Know about that problem. Over here. You should see the spike in student loans. You need to see this spike over here in cars. Well, what about this over here? The overall debt ratio is actually lower. Well, I don't want I look at the car loans. Right. We can all mine data. But I'm more interested in the big picture, aren't you? Like the whole picture? Or do we just want to look at like this corner over here and try to understand what the rest of it is? Is it a cat? Is it a bear? I mean, if you only see a little ball of fur, what is it? Is it a rat? Do you know what it is? No, I want to see the whole picture, not one little thing. And then remake this negative case that I'm trying to make to try to justify why I haven't been in the market for 10,000 points. It makes no sense. Why do we see it this way? I don't care how old you are if you're over 20. The market's done 10% during your life. That's right. If you're 33, you're 47, if you're 59, if you're 73, if you happen to be 123, the market's done 10. Now, how can we screw this up? They don't want you to do anything. You can do it for $50 a month. You can participate in the greatest wealth creation machine. But I don't want to because I worry about this. I worry about that. I want to go and spend all my time instead of having fun, enjoying my family, learning something. I want to fight. I want to muss with my head. I want to fuss about stuff. That's who I am. And I want to make sure I fuss enough that I don't do the easiest thing in the whole wide world. Invest. That's all there is. You want to get rich? Put a little money away. Give it time. There's three things to how much money you're going to have. How much you put away. How much time you have. And what you earn. So if you don't invest, you throw it in a tin can, you throw it in because you want to be safe, because, you know, you want to be conservative. I think it's a better word. You want to be conservative because it makes you sound smart. Where people who are like, you know, invest in the market, they're just like rolling the dice. Really? That's the whole thought. So we got to quit thinking of it in these foolish ways. Because it is foolish. There's so much information out there. That you just look all of the things up that we talk about. What has the market done over any long period of time? 10. Nothing else is close. Okay, so what do I want to invest in? The one that's done the best. I guess that would make sense. Okay, well, but I probably have to do a lot of work to do that. Actually, they don't let you do any work. Okay, so it has the highest return and I don't do anything. Well, that's ridiculous. I know. So you can accept that, or we can run around with our hair on fire and we can say, you know, 10% is just not enough. It's just not enough. I think I can trade this thing. Really? Don't do that. So we think of it wrong. We think short term instead of long. We talk about long term, like I want to retire someday. I want to make sure my kids get an education in 15 or 20 years. We talk the talk. We know what we're supposed to say. I'm a long term investor. And then we say, but don't you think the market's a little high now? Don't you think we should wait for a correction? Aren't you a little worried about what's going on in Russia? Aren't you worried about impeachment? Aren't you worried about that? And the answer really in short is, sure. Do I think it's going to take the market down? I don't know what the knee-jerk reaction would be. But what I know is what people know is never really right, is it? I mean, after all, if Donald Trump got elected president, we were going to go down 10%. Like that's some kind of magic number, 10. Like, yeah, well, we've done all the studies, and the studies show that it's going to fall exactly 10%. And you mean not 20? Well, I mean, you know, of course, since I'm an extreme liberal, I think it will be at least 25. Okay. And so we're kind of taking an average because, you know, if like Trump's my guy. And so, you know, being a right winger here, I think not even a right winger. What is it? Trump's not a right winger. But you know what I'm saying. So I think the market will probably not go down at all. And so like we come up with 10 as some kind of an average between weird opinions. And then we like report it like it's some kind of a given fact.
Well, analysts see the market falling 10% if Donald Trump is elected president.
Like, wow, okay, well, I'm going to make a note of that. Oops, they're wrong.
You know, the experts really know. You know, with Brexit, it's going to be a really bad thing for the British economy. It's a terrible thing. You see all the exodus of the banking business and da-da-da-da-da-da. We see it falling into recession. Thank you. I guess it didn't work out that way. But that's okay if it's, like, negative. You see, we get fussed about all this short-term noise, and we miss the reality of the long-term gift. You know what I would call the stock market to the average middle and low-income person, upper income, of course. But the average person is one of the greatest blessings ever that people won't do. Here's magic wealth. No, I don't want that. Let me see if I can overthink it over here. Here's something you don't have to do anything except put a few bucks away and give it time. Everything else is done for you. I don't want any part of that. No. I need to go over here and overthink this. I want to try to zig and zag. I just don't want to accept that. So whatever toxic thing was laid on you by your parents and grandparents, yeah, you don't want to invest in this. It's a big gambling thing. Whatever you listen to in the latest doomsday report, don't. All it does is it keeps you out of this. Sure, the market corrects. It's flipping normal. It's like, oh, the sky is blue today. I didn't know. That would be called normal. It's raining today. I think the world is going to flood and it's over. Because it's raining? Well, the market went down today. I knew I shouldn't have bought stocks. Really? It's amazing. Look, we think of this completely wrong. I'm not making fun. This is the truth. This is what I hear all the time. You know, walk through the pro shop last week. You know, well, there it is. You think Trump's going to ruin the market? I don't know. I guess up 15% since the election, if that's ruining it. Well, I know. He's talking about one day. Apparently, if your guy isn't the guy, and that includes those of you who Obama wasn't your guy, okay? If it's not your guy, then you give them no credit for when things are going okay or great, and then everything that goes wrong is their fault. Well, that's the kind of mindset I want to have when I'm trying to overthink something. I want a confirmation bias laid over everything. It's crazy what we do. We do everything we seemingly can to mess up the most simple thing in the whole wide world. And if we shift it around and we think about it, and we think about these couple of things, it's a blessing to be alive. It's a gift to be alive. But guess what? You won the lottery being born in America and having the availability and ease of creating financial freedom, vast wealth, doing nothing except putting a few nickels away early and often and letting them grow and being able to do anything you want. And if you just think of these basic things as a gift, as a blessing, as amazing as they are, then maybe we quit fussing about little tiny corrections that are perfectly normal, 100% certain to occur over and over all the days of your life. But what goes up must come down, has got to stop. It does. It comes down a little, and then it goes all to all-time highs, and you can't game it. Stop it. And the sooner you do, and you rip the Band-Aid off your absurd behavior, and you say,
I bare my soul. I've done this over and over and over, and I expect different results. And then I blame Wall Street if we can't just simply rip it off and say, that's me. That's me. I admit it. I really suck at this. I don't know why. Why I've taken my money and I put it in, and I think I'm going to wait for some kind of sign from God that now's the moment. It's never going to go down again. It's all up from here. When it's never happened like that. I don't know what's wrong with me. Why I can't see that. You can't if you can't change. If you can't admit that you view this wrong. That you don't view this as a gift. As one of the most amazing things ever. You, average Joe. Born to average Joe and Josephine in nowhere flyover country, have financial freedom because you threw a few bucks in. You didn't even have to pick which one was the greatest. You didn't have to get Facebook at an IPO. You didn't have to have Microsoft when you lived in Seattle a zillion years ago. Mm-mm, you didn't. It's amazing. That's how we do it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I got to take a break. My gosh, I'm way over time. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. It's Money Matters with Dave Petzo, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. We've got no callers this hour. I appreciate that we had a couple last hour, but let's bring them up. Come on, let's go, 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 go. But if you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. Now, before we get to an email real quick, hey, it is the largest, Idaho's largest yard sale going on right now out there at the fairgrounds. So you might look that up. Go out there, check it out, get some bargains, and be sure to say hi to Kevin Miller and KIDO crew out there as well. All right. I wanted to go ahead and read this email here. I received this notification last week from Company A. I knew changes were coming, but I wonder what the feds are trying to protect me from. I have all A shares with a company. I'm going to call my advisor and thought that this to discuss this subject, but wanted to let everybody know. And that's a great point. So what we're talking about, as we touched on before, I kind of touched on this email last week, was the Department of Labor rules. Now, again, they are being delayed, the implementation, but the Trump administration has not said no. And I think that's good. I would like them to slow this process down. The prior We Know Better Than Anybody for Everything group, led by Perez, who is a labor secretary, labor, of course, he is a financial expert, of course, because all truly arrogant academics know more than you do about everything. I mean, it's just they do. They're just here to help. And they know more than, of course, the people at the SEC know about investing, about the investment companies and how to properly regulate them. So I thank goodness we have genius people in like labor positions with no financial background, but because they are so super intelligent and great bureaucrats, they know what we should do. All right. Some of this is not all bad. Some of the increased oversight, lowering of commissions, inappropriate products is very good. But in their big rush to push this through, just like the big rush to do Obamacare, it turned it into a disaster where small investors will get no care. Or they're in perfectly good investments, and now the only way to get care going forward is to raise their fees. I am 100% serious. They can no longer do what they were doing for free. We now have to put it into a fee platform because somehow that is be costing them more is somehow saving them. That's ridiculous. And, of course, in the rush to get it through rather than get it right, that's what the Department of Labor came up with.
It's not been said, don't. And Department of Labor, I underline that and go, labor? Labor. Only the most arrogant of academics could possibly think that I, in the Labor Department, should dictate what the SEC ought to be doing about regulation of the financial industry. Oh, wow. That just makes my head explode. But in the hurry to do this, they're not getting it right. So there are aspects that I hope can be peeled back, but the overall thought of lowering cost is correct. And prohibiting equity-indexed annuities, for example, high-priced annuities inside of these retirement plans, so that people can't come on and just scare you. You don't want to be in the Wall Street casino. No, I don't. That sounds really scary. No. So you want to get into this high-commission product over here that will never work. Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want. How did you know? Well, because I really would like to get 10% plus commissions. That's what I'd like. Well, of course you would. And that's what they're trying to get rid of. But in that sweeping, get rid of this garbage, this horrific garbage, is good stuff that needs to be available, especially to those getting started. You know, I had a kid in the office. Because why? Because one of my clients drug him in. Okay? Good kid. Smart kid. Let's get him started early. Bang. Do you think that this kid on his own is going to start? Do you think that this kid is going to have a mentor, just happen to bump into, doesn't know much about, you know, the markets, but knows enough to put a couple bucks away and say, you need to go talk to somebody and get this thing started. That's how you get $1 million. That's how you get millions of dollars. Okay. Do you think that they're going to take them to the computer and talk to artificial intelligence and get it going? No, they're not. But when you look them in the eye, you say, you need to do this. Do you have $100 a month? Well, I don't know if I should start now. Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear you just decided to make $1 million decision. What do you mean? Well, if you wait 10, 15 years, which you will, if you don't start now, and maybe even longer, that's $1 million decision. You just decided I don't want $1 million. I don't want to put $100 away a month because I don't want $1 million later. That's what you just decided. Oh, I didn't. I'm not deciding that. Yes, you are. If you don't start, you can't finish. If you don't start and we build on your start, and if you don't start now, you don't have all those decades. You know, you've seen the compound charts, the mountain charts, bang, 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 and then they just spike up at the end, right? It's that last 10 years when it doubles, right? What if you start 10 years from now, what part of that entire chart do you think you lop off? Yeah, that's right. It's the 2 million to 4. It's the 1 million to 2. It's the, I can't retire for another 10 years because I didn't start 10 years earlier. That's what it is. I can't start another job. I can't educate my kids. But it's somebody's fault. It wasn't a high enough paid job. It was, I just didn't have the resources because, you know, the boss wouldn't give me a raise. It wasn't because you made choices of, I need a new boat, I need this, I need that, instead of putting away $100 a month for your kids' college education. It's got to be Donald Trump's fault that you didn't get that done. But without a coach in there to say, you need to start. Here's a pen. Sign right here, give me a voided check, and we'll take it right out of your bank account every month. You won't think about it. And next year I'll call up and we'll raise that to $125 a month. Well, I don't just do it. Okay. People need it. We need coaches. We need personal trainers. We need mentors of all kinds to push. Anyway, thanks for the question, and I just wanted to relate more. It's not all bad, this Department of Labor rule. It's just way over the top. Way over the top. Because that's what bureaucrats do. They do it perfectly because they're smarter and we are. They know better for us than you do. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. So, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. If you have any comments, questions during the week, please shoot those over to PetzoFinancial.com. If you want to email now during the show, it's Dave@PetzoFinancial.net. How's that for confusing it? Anyway, over at our website, PetzoFinancial.com, we do have podcasts there. We've got, and by the way, for those of you who have been waiting for the last four, we will get those uploaded next week. Computer glitch, but we got them. And hopefully we'll get that rectified going forward and be able to get those automatically as we have for the last, you know, gazillion years, okay? So we're going to get that fixed. But anyway, podcasts are there as well as calculators and articles to help you with your own financial planning as well to maybe help answer some questions. All right, our number again, 580-KIDO. Let's go to John. John, thanks for calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for some your opinion because I've been listening to your show whenever I can for the last 6 months, and I really think your cool, calm, and collective manner is important.
Thank you.
So my situation is that you know I'm a medical professional physician, and I've done a lot of subspecialty training. So I didn't get my start in the job market until I was much older, mm-hmm. in my late 30s. Now I'm in my early 40s. So I have my 401 is a joke right now, I'm a little behind on the retirement and the savings. And I've accrued about $350,000 of medical school debt, as is unfortunately part of the course. And then with a mortgage and three kids, you know, I've got a substantial amount of debt. I've recently come in a little bit of an inheritance from a family member that's passed away. And when his financial advisor called us to talk about transferring the inheritance to our accounts and things like that, he gave the free advice that he would suggest that we pay off our debt versus investing the inheritance. But my question is, which I think is probably good, but my question is I have the loans locked in at a 2.25 rate, and my mortgage is 3.625, which I think are both phenomenal rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and someone in my situation where I don't have a lot of retirement yet, and I do have a substantial amount of loan debt from mortgage and student loans, but they're locked in at really good rates. Would you agree with that financial advisor that I should go straight to paying off the debt versus investing in the market where I'm guaranteed, well, not guaranteed, but more than likely to get much better returns?
I disagree with him. I don't think you should. And here's why. There is no, look, you've got a mountain of debt. It's very, you're in a tough spot, right? Because you got to go live life and you want to have kids, you have kids. So you got a family, you got kids, you've got education coming for them, you've got $350,000 of debt. It looks like a really tough situation, and it is. But you also are going to be able to earn a very high salary, theoretically, unless you're disabled, and I hope you have coverage if you don't, aren't able to. But my point is this. You can't get back time. And if you don't, if you take this chunk of money, it now can't compound. You have to basically, you're saying, yeah, but I have these lower payments. Let's pretend it was two equal things. I've got a return expectation of 6% on my investments, again, making up numbers, and my mm-hmm. interest rate's 6. I would say the same thing. But particularly where you have long-term, locked-in, low interest, and you don't have time. These loans will take care of themselves. over a long period of time. But you can't buy back the time, ever. So when we look at that compound interest chart, you just have to sometimes you just have to pull this out for the visual. But if we close our eyes, we can really see it, right? Where you say, I put in, you know, 10,000, whatever the number is, right? And you see that chart kind of barely bubbling along. And then all of a sudden out there, 20, 30 years, it just goes straight up, right? If you take that last 10 years and you chop it off, look where that dot is. You see, that's the 2 million that didn't grow to 4 million. It's now you're stuck at 2. Or you're stuck at 1 and it doesn't go to 2. You chop off that 10 years because you use it for debt and you don't have it, and it takes that long to build it back up. Again, we're just making up time. We're making up return numbers. These are far below what the average market has done. Because if it's 10 years to double, that's a 7% return. The market's done 10. So let's make up your own whatever you want, but you can't get that time back. And we can't think of it as short term. So I totally differ with Ramsey on this particular perspective. And believe me, I think that debt needs to be paid off. I don't carry debt, okay? But I've taken care of all these other things, and you can't get time back. Because of the cost of your education and training, you're going to get paid highly for giving up the first half of your life and going to the 25th grade. That's what you have, but in between, you also have life rolling on. Three kids, that's expensive. A mortgage, expensive. You still have $350,000 of debt, expensive. But you can't get back the time. You're in your early 40s. Man, we got 20 or 30 years to compound this money. Don't give up 10 of it.
Huh. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. And I was a little taken back by his advice and, not – it was his free advice, so I didn't feel like I could push him on explaining it or anything. But I just couldn't figure out why, when the rates are locked in for so low that he would even suggest such a thing. But
again, even trying to get away from that argument is the reason I say it, is that capital is precious, man. Don't give it up.
All right.
Okay, in your tax bracket, you got to earn a lot. I mean, this tax inheritances are tax-free, right? That's tax-free money.
Yeah, for some reason, a little bit of this is going to be taxable because
IRA.
IRA, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But my point, okay, on the other, okay, but the point here, and you do have to take that out every year, make sure you do that, okay?
Okay.
You have to have, there's a required minimum distribution for a beneficiary IRA. So you do have to take a little tiny bit out. But you be sure to roll that right back in. You just pay the taxes and you move on. And roll it back into your investments. You have got to focus on building capital. It takes $1 million to have about a $4,000 a month income. Okay? So just think about how much you're spending now, how much you might be spending in 20 or 30 years. And everybody can say, yeah, my three kids, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You spend a lot of money, just you and your bride too. Okay? So it's not just the kids. It's always going to be a lot. So how much do you have? How much capital do you have to come up with? How about a few million dollars? We need to start.
Not even close. All right.
Okay.
Okay,
John, thanks. Great call. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. And our number is 580-KIDO. We need to take a quick break. We will be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Is Money Matters with Dave Petzo, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. If you want to get a hold of us again during the week, you have a comment, question, please shoot those over to petzofinancial.com. And again, we've got the podcasts and articles and calculators out there. And be sure to get out to the big yard sale out there at the fairgrounds, Expo Idaho. And today going on right now, get your tail out there and be sure to say hi to Kevin Miller, who's with KIDO out there and the crew. Also, again, we are on 107.5. It is FM, which is awesome, just awesome. It sounds great. So I hope you're enjoying that as well. It really does sound good. And it really sounds a lot better for those of you who put up with the bad signal for whatever reason there on Eagle Road and stuff. It's great. Go to try the FM side now. All right. You know, it's been interesting, and I know we talked a lot today about why we see the market incorrectly, and it is so important for us to let that resonate, because we all have our own built-in bias, right, of thinking the market's high here, or we like this other thing over here. We have to be so careful with our own built-in bias and where we get our information, if you will, right? Do we just have confirmation bias? Are we always just looking at the latest doomsday report? You know, one of the ways to always tell, and this is really true, who are the supporters of that? Like, is it the Gold Bug Digest? Are those what all the ads are on the website you're reading? Are all about buying gold? You know, or building a bunker? Is that what it is? Is it always negative drumbeat all of the time? Because negativity sells far more than positive. Optimistic. Fear does sell. It's wrong. And all the evidence of our life says it's wrong. But at the time, it is much more persuasive argument. Can be. I would almost say it's kind of like, you know, the devil can be very persuasive. Sometimes more so than the angels. Pessimism is deadly to your investing. And optimism has always won out. Have a great weekend, everybody.